Well, I pray if you came in this morning ungrateful, that song right there stirred you to have an attitude of gratitude toward our Lord for what He's done for us. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and we'll be looking at verses 16 through 20 this morning. The title of this morning's message is, A Disciple Must Go. A Disciple Must Go. Again, we celebrate our veterans today, as today being Veterans Day. We honor you and we say thank you for your sacrifice, for your service to our country, for those things that you've done that others have no idea. We say thank you. We want to honor you. We want to recognize you. But there's another group this morning that I want to recognize. There's another group, I guess you could say we want to honor in a sense, but we at least want to recognize those. And that group is disciples of Christ, followers of Christ. Why do I say that? Just as a veteran served our country, and just as a veteran would receive orders and commands, and when he received those orders, he would go do what? He would do what he was told. He would go. Just as the veteran does that, the disciple, the follower of Christ, the Christian, is to do the same. We have received a command from our commander-in-chief, our Lord and Savior. And just as the veterans go forward and do their duty, just as they go, the Christian is to go as well. So this morning, disciples of Christ, we have been commanded to go make disciples while being comforted by Christ's presence. So I want our church to go and make disciples while being comforted with the presence of Christ. So let's look here at verse 16. But before I read the verse, just a little context. Our Christ has been crucified. He has been laid in the tomb. God has raised him 3 days later. He's been victorious over sin and death and the grave. Some of the women have come to the tomb that Sunday morning, the morning that he was risen from the grave, the tomb, and they have seen him. The Lord has commanded them to go and tell the brothers or the disciples to go to Galilee, and there in Galilee they would see him. And that's where we are. Look at verse 16. That says, Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, that is Jesus, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. In this text, the Bible reveals four principles that will guide a disciple of Christ in making disciples. There's four principles I want us to see here. The first is this: disciples of Christ are genuine followers of Christ. Now, disciples, a follower, a Christian, is a genuine follower of Christ. See, a disciple of Christ is the real deal. He's not a fraud, he's not a fake, he's not a con artist. So I want to make this bold statement to start with. Listen, lean in real close, church. If you don't follow Christ, stop calling yourselves a follower of Christ. Now that's hard, but do the church a favor. If you're truly not following Christ, stop calling yourself a follower of Christ. Disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, they're genuine. They're the real deal. Now, note here in verse 16, it says, Now the 11 disciples. Now, most of you know your Bible, I would assume, and it started with how many? 12. But one of them was not genuine. One of them was a fraud. One of them walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, handled Jesus, knew Jesus, yet he did not know Jesus. He had not received Jesus as his Savior. And he left, as we know. So now there's 11 disciples. That's what verse 16 tells us. And they're told to go to this mountain. Look, it says right there, if you go back to, look at verse 10 of chapter 28. And this is Jesus speaking to the ladies that have come right after he has risen. It says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, or you could say disciples, to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So these 11 genuine followers of Christ did what they were told, and they went to Galilee, to the mountain that they were told to go to. See, this is what I want us to see. Genuine disciples hear the words of Christ. Genuine disciples hear the words of Christ. Just as the disciples heard the words of Christ, yes, they were received through ladies, but just as they heard the words of Christ, we too must hear the words of Christ. Genuine disciples hear the word. Not only do genuine disciples hear the words of Christ, genuine disciples trust Christ. Not only did they hear, they trusted. They trusted Christ. We too must trust Christ. Now, why do I say that? Jesus told them to go to Galilee, and they did what? They went. Before they could go, though, they had to trust. They heard the words of Christ. They trusted Christ. That's what true disciples do. Not only did they hear, not only did they trust, they obeyed. The disciples obeyed. They heard, they trusted, they obeyed. Not only did they obey, what happened? They saw Christ. Look at it again. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. Verse 17. And when they saw him, right? They heard, they trusted, they obeyed, and they saw, right? They saw Christ. We too must hear, trust, obey, and look for Jesus throughout Scripture. The genuine follower of Christ, when he opens the Bible, he looks for Jesus. Now, you may have ran into these. I don't really know the technical names. Somebody after service, maybe you can help me. I call it a painting within a painting. You know, you go to the doctor's office, and one of the ways they keep you from you know, losing your mind or thinking it's been a long while is they put that painting up there, right? That's got a painting within the painting, and you stare at it till you see the painting. Anybody ever done that? Am I the only one? Maybe there really isn't a painting within a painting then, I guess. No, they have these things, and you'll stare at them, and within that image is another image, right? Folks, when we read Scripture, we ought to look for the image within the image. We ought to look for Christ. We can go to a restaurant from time to time, and the kids' menu, one of our girls is still old enough for the kids' meal there, young enough, I should say, and they'll get that kids' menu, and sometimes they'll have the drawing, and they'll have the four or five things that you have to pick out of the drawing. Well, when she does that, she's not looking at all the stuff on the picture. She's looking for what? Those things they want her to find. How many have looked for Waldo before? All right, if you haven't looked for Waldo, it's intense, okay? Go home this afternoon, look for Waldo, just Google it, all right? You don't notice the hot air balloons and the buildings and all those other things. You're looking for Waldo, right? Oh, folks, when we are reading Scripture, we need to look for Christ throughout Scripture. Oh, Lord, show me where you are. Show me where Christ is in this passage. Oh, genuine followers of Christ, they hear the word of God. They trust the word of God. They obey the word of God. They look for Christ. But not only that, what I want us to see right here in verse 17, they saw him and then they did what? They worshiped him. The genuine believer hears the words of Christ. He trusts Christ. He obeys Christ. He sees Christ in Scripture and he worships Christ. When the women, back in verse 9, it says that they worshiped him. When they saw him, they worshiped him. The men here, the disciples, when they saw him, they worshiped him. Now, we must note at the end of verse 17, it says that some doubted. Now, a logical question here would be, well, which ones? Is it some of the 11? Well, we don't necessarily know. Or could it be some of a larger group that's nearby? I'm not quite sure. But what I do know is that many of them worshiped without hesitation. And some hesitated to worship him. So we got to note that. But the majority here, it says of the 11, they worshiped Christ. See, I want you to know this. Worship is the only logical and appropriate response from a disciple of Christ. Let me repeat that. Worship is the only logical and appropriate response from a disciple of Christ. Worship is logical and appropriate because Christ is the one who has been victorious over sin and death, the grave and hell. He is worthy of our worship. Today, when we read Scripture, do we worship when we do it? As we have come this morning into our service time, are we worshiping Christ? What about in your quiet time? When was the last time you read the Word and looked for Christ in it, saw Him, and worshiped? Now, I'm not saying saw Him with your literal eyes, but you saw Christ on the pages of Scripture and you just worshiped. When was the last time? So, I mean, really, that is a question for us to ask. When was the last time, literally, you worshiped Christ when you opened the pages of Scripture and read them? Oh, folks, a disciple of Christ, he's the real deal. He's a genuine follower of Christ. Not a fake, not a fraud. Most of our students now, or I think just about all of them anyways, should be back in school, right? And a good many of them, especially the seniors, will be looking forward to graduating here soon, right? A few are hopeful. That's okay. I was one of those hopefuls in high school. All right? Nothing wrong with being a hopeful. But you're looking forward to graduating, all right? Some are, maybe even you're going to graduate from college soon. That's good. Let me tell you one school you will not graduate from here on earth. That is the school of discipleship. We are disciples, followers of Christ. You're not going to graduate from this until you die. For the rest of your life on this earth, if you were a follower of Christ, you were in the school of discipleship. There's no need to seek a higher position. We all, as disciples, are in this school of discipleship. So I have to ask you, are you a genuine follower, a genuine disciple of Christ, or you just say you are? In addition to being a genuine follower of Christ, there's another principle here, and that's this. Disciples of Christ are under Christ's authority. Look at verse 18. And Jesus came, that is, he came closer to them and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Christ has been given full authority by God. He is the commander in chief. He is the king. He is the boss, if you want to use that terminology. Matthew 11, in Christ's own words, Matthew 11 verse 27 would say, "All things have been handed over to me," that's Jesus, "by my Father." John 11, 35, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." Who's in charge? Jesus. Who's in charge? There's like two people that said it. I just want to make sure you're aware, right? You're like, you're not the boss. Mom, you might be at the house, okay? Dad, you might be at the house. But no, Christ is in charge. Christ is the commander in chief. He's the boss. Daniel, in his prophecy in Daniel 7, he would allude to that. Listen to this. Daniel says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him." And listen to this. Verse 14. "And to him," that's Jesus, "and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion." You know what that means, right? His reign will never end. "Which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed." How many nations have been destroyed throughout history? How many kingdoms? This one won't. And he is on the throne. And we are his disciples. See, Christ is the headmaster. Christ is the principal of our school of discipleship. He is the commander in chief. Christ is in charge, not me and you. This Christ that me and you belong to, this Christ that me and you serve, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has authority over all. And in one day, from Philippians chapter 2, one day, whether they may realize it or not, whether they may confess it now or not, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has authority over all. So I want you to see in verse 18, Christ's authority is limitless. His authority knows no limits. He's not like the city cop whose jurisdiction ends at the city limits, or the sheriff or the sheriff's deputy whose jurisdiction ends at the county limits, or the state trooper whose jurisdiction ends at the state line. No, his continues on. His authority goes forever. It knows no limits. There is no boundaries. There's nowhere it cannot touch. There's no place it cannot be in heaven and on earth. Now, most of you know I grew up with two brothers, and I had a firm but a fair daddy. I still have a fair and firm daddy. And as you would know, with three boys, we broke some things. We made some mess ups. We got in some trouble, right? And I can remember on numerous occasions, my dad would be going to work, and me and my brothers, we'd do something ridiculous. And my mama, she'd spank us. And she'd spank with the best of them. But you know, after that spanking, you know what she'd say? Wait till your daddy gets home. I'm going to tell him too. And I'm like, oh no, your jurisdiction ends right now, right? Right? I mean, like, your power's over, right? You've already done it, right? No. She would tell daddy. And what would happen when daddy got home? His jurisdiction never ended, okay? I mean, again, another spanking. I remember this one occasion I was going to get him. I was 8 or 9. I said, that will happen today. You know, mama had spanked me. And my daddy, he used a belt sometimes, he used a switch sometimes, he had a paddle. And we knew it quite well. And I if I had that paddle, he won't be able to spank me, right? So I can remember finding that paddle and I hit it. I was a brilliant 8-year-old. I hit it under the mattress, right? Original place to hide something. And I hit it under that mattress. And my daddy had got home, and guess what? My mama had told him. And then guess what? He looked for the paddle, and that did not soothe him. It did not calm him. He came and he approached me, and I lied and I told him I had no idea where the paddle was. But in his magical powers, he found the paddle. And he used that paddle. It was like his jurisdiction never ended, right? His authority, his power, it was limitless. Now, I use that in jest, but I'm telling you, our Lord, his authority is limitless. It knows no boundaries. There is no place you can go, there's no place you can hide that he is not in control. Amen. That he is not in power, that he does not have authority. Craig Bloomberg, in his commentary, says this: because of this authority, Jesus has the right to issue his followers their marching orders, but he also has the ability to help them carry out those orders. Jesus has authority, and we are under his authority, and that means he's over us, and he has all right to issue out our marching orders. That's why the next principle for the disciple of Christ to make disciples is this: disciples of Christ are given a mission, or you could say we're given a commission. Look at verses 19 through 20, 20a. Our Lord says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Okay, let's just stop right there. As disciples of Christ, we have been given a command. We've been given a mission, a commission, if you will. And this command is a command to go. Now, if you know anything about Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, their focus is on go. The two letters or the word go is pasted everywhere. And their emphasis is for young men and women who are coming to be trained for the ministry to have a desire to go and take the gospel. And today we read this command here that our Lord has given us. Followers of Christ have been commanded to go. This is not a as you go command. Jesus isn't saying, as you go along throughout your day, if you get an opportunity, do this. Jesus is saying, you intentionally go. Coming off the heels of his authority, saying, I have authority in heaven and on earth. Now you go. Therefore, because of my authority, I send you forth to go, to intentionally go. And that's what it is here. See, this is a command to go, and it knows no boundaries. This verse would tell us where to go. To all nations. Just not here, but to all nations. Acts 1:8, our Lord, in that account, would tell his disciples where to go. He says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The Lord has commanded me and you as disciples of Christ who live in Jacksonville, North Carolina, to go to Jacksonville, to go to Onslow County, to go to North Carolina, to go to the United States of America, and to go to the surrounding nations throughout this world. To go. That is our command to go. But Jesus doesn't leave us there. He doesn't just say go. He describes and prescribes how we are to go. We go by making disciples. That's what he says right there. Go therefore and make disciples. We have been commanded to go, and we are told how to go. We are commanded to make disciples. We are commanded to reproduce ourselves. That's what making disciples is. It is a disciple, a follower of Christ, reproducing himself in another person that has placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? Are we discipling one another? Are we discipling others outside the church? Are we making followers of Christ? We are to duplicate ourselves. Just as a CD can be duplicated, we are to duplicate ourselves. We are to make followers. We don't stop with a simple gospel presentation. We present the gospel. But then we go forward. We go more in turning that person, helping them to become more like Christ, to be conformed more into the image of Christ. We go by making disciples. We go by baptizing disciples. That's what he says right there in verse 19, baptizing them. This is by sharing the love of Christ with others, by sharing the gospel with others. Christ is not giving us, or Christ is not saying here that a person is saved by baptism. He's not saying that a person cannot be saved without baptism. Our Lord has given us a beautiful picture of salvation here. And he's saying that baptism symbolizes conversion. Is that when a person places their faith in Jesus Christ, they've repented of their sins and they've trusted Christ for salvation, the next logical step of obedience is baptism. Baptism is the going forward publicly of saying, I profess Christ as my Savior. I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ, and I publicly come forward symbolizing or acknowledging my union with Christ. And that's what our Lord, he's given us this picture of conversion, of regeneration here. Oh, folks, we go by sharing the gospel with others. Are we doing that? Acts 2, verse 37 through 38, Peter in that great sermon, the day of Pentecost, after he gave that great sermon, some would ask, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. He didn't just say be baptized. He said what? Repent of your sins. What is Peter saying? Again, there's this picture. Repent of your sins. Turn from your sins and place your faith in Jesus Christ. We go as commanded by making disciples, by baptizing them. And what that means is by sharing the gospel so that they turn in faith to Jesus Christ. But see, he also references here in this verse, verse 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is referencing their unity, the unity of the Godhead here. There is no rift between God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They are united. And this shows us their unity. And when a person is baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, that symbolizes their unity with Christ. Oh, folks, we go by baptizing disciples, by sharing the gospel with them. But we don't end there. We go by teaching disciples. We need evangelism, but we also need disciple making too. The two go hand in hand. We don't stop with just presenting the gospel to someone and saying, oh, you're saved now. Great, wonderful, have a good day. No, it says right here, Jesus said, we teach them to observe, verse 20, all that I have commanded you. We teach other disciples of Christ what we have been taught from Scripture, to observe all of Scripture. See, Jesus is concerned more with more than just education. He's concerned with a person's way of life. You know, do you know that God uses me and you, followers of Christ, and other Christians' lives to conform them to the image of His Son? Sometimes He uses us as chisels. Sometimes He uses us as sandpaper. But the Lord uses us. And we're to go and we're to help teach others. Again, Cram Bloomberg, in his commentary, it's kind of a lengthy quote, just bear with me. He says, teach in obedience to all of Jesus' commands forms the heart of disciple making. Evangelism must be holistic. If non-Christians are not hearing the gospel and not being challenged to make a decision for Christ, then the church has disobeyed one part of God's commission. If new converts are not faithfully and lovingly nurtured in the whole counsel of God's revelation, then the church has disobeyed the other part. As a church, we have a duty to evangelize and to disciple. We have a duty to baptize and to teach. Are we doing both? Are we going? This is how our Lord tells us to go. You go by making disciples. You go by baptizing disciples. You go by teaching disciples. That's how we go. The command is to go. And He's told us how we go do that. The final principle for disciples of Christ to make disciples is this. Disciples of Christ are promised Christ's presence. Look at the end of verse 20. And He says, and behold, I am with you always. To when? To the end of the age. As we intentionally go and teach others Christ, we teach others about Christ. He has promised us His presence. Isn't that comforting? You're not doing this on your own. This isn't you figure out the formula. This isn't you figure out the plan. The plan's already been given to us. And not just the plan, His presence. Think about that for a moment. Christ is with you as you intentionally go. See, we have confidence in Christ that He will be with us. And Christ, He will never withdraw His presence from His genuine disciple. Many of you have a boss in here. You'll go back to work on Tuesday. Some may go tomorrow, but I know tomorrow's a holiday. But whenever you do go back to work, that boss will give you instructions, right? Does that boss stand over your shoulder the entire time? No, he's not with you, right? When I worked out on the air station, I had a boss, and he gave many, many, many instructions. But he did not stand over my shoulder or hold my hand. He might want to slap my head a few times, but he did not stay with me the entire time. to go carry out that command. Our Lord Jesus is with you always. Parents, you tell your children to go do certain things, right? Do you hold their hand the entire time? No. But our Lord, He does. He is with us, right? He will be with you always to the end of the age. I can remember in 2006 when I was struggling with a call to preach the public ministry, the gospel ministry. And I can remember, I just kept coming back to several verses in the Bible where I really just felt God burdening me to enter into the ministry. And I can remember wondering, I don't know. And I kept coming back to this phrase, I am with you always. I am with you always. Fast forward a few years, and I can remember when you graciously voted to allow me to come on here with full-time staff. And I was looking at, you know, I had a 19-year career in aviation on the air station. And looking at resigning from that, I was at the top of the ladder, doing very well. And I can remember looking at that and looking at, you know, entering into full-time ministry. And my mind kept going back to this verse where our Lord commissioned His disciples and He's commissioned us. And He says, I am with you always. And I can remember that phrase, just, I am with you always. I am with you always. I am with you always. And what kind of kept just burning, the Lord kept burning it on my heart and in my mind is that phrase, but it was more of a question. And it was this question right here. He would say, I am with you always, Matthew 28:20. And it would always be followed up with this impression on my heart. Is that enough for you? Is that enough for you? Christ has promised His presence to genuine believers, to the followers of Christ. Is that enough for you to go? The logical answer is yes. How will you answer that this morning? Is the presence of Christ, is that enough for you to say, I will go and I will make disciples, followers of Christ? Here in just a moment, we're going to have our invitation. And during this time, it is an opportunity for you to publicly respond to the Word of God and what the Holy Spirit has been saying through His Word. Maybe you haven't been going. Maybe there's been no intentional going in your life. Now you have an opportunity in just a moment as our musicians will play, just to come to this altar and kneel and pray. To nail down whatever's going on in your heart right now. Father God, I ask you to forgive me for not going. I ask you to give me the strength. And I thank you for comforting me this morning with your presence. And I will go. Your going may be at home. Your going may be in the county. Your going may be around the world. I don't know exactly where you'll go. But this morning, will you go as we've been commanded? Possibly you're here this morning and you're like, Robert, in that first point, I saw that I'm not a genuine follower of Christ. I claim it. I claim to be a Christian, but I don't really follow Him. Oh, this morning, just a moment, I'd love the opportunity to talk to you about what it is to know Jesus Christ, what it is to be a disciple, a follower of Christ. Let's pray.